Hello, and welcome back to Bantha Fodder, hosted by myself, Jacob Tender, and my long-haired co-host, Mike Comite. How are you today, my good sir?
My hair is going down to the middle of my back, and it's growing. It'll hit the floor by the end of this episode.
That's amazing. The last time I saw you, it was maybe shoulder length, maybe a little longer.
Yeah. Yep, that was back in May-ish of 2015.
I thought it was cold.
It was a year ago.
No, it was
a year ago.
Yeah, but I thought it was colder. I thought it was fall.
It was not fall, because we've only met once in person.
Right.
And it was while I was on tour in spring of 2015.
Wow.
It was cold, though. It was very cold. There was frost on the grass.
Flies. A year? Good Lord. I mean, it did snow here today, so yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So welcome back from South by Southwest, Jacob. How is that?
Thank you. It was really fun. It was awesome. It was like a week or so trip away from Ohio. It was pretty cold when I left. It was perfectly warm the entire time I was there. And by the time I got home and stepped out onto the tarmac at Akron Airport, there was snow flying. So it was good to get away from the weather and work for a week or so and just see a bunch of music.
A lot of good beer. A lot of good music.
Yeah. I had a lot of good beer. I had a lot of Shiner. It's like my favorite brewery, and they're based out of Texas anyway, so I had a ton of that, and got to meet a bunch of friends haven't seen in a long time, or actually have never met in person, so that's really cool.
And your panels went well?
Yeah, the first one was good. First one was a good practice run, I'd say. We had, I don't know, maybe 5 people there that we didn't know. You know, we had some friends there to support and everything, but we had some other people trickle in and out. I'd say most of them were probably there to sleep or recharge their phones, but it was nice that they were there anyway. The second one, though, was great. I'd say we probably had like 20, maybe more people in there, and a lot of them I didn't know. So that was really, really awesome to see. We had a ton of people, you know, asking us questions and everything, which is great. And it bodes well for next year if we decide to do another panel, because I think if your last panel had a good turnout, you have a much better chance of getting in. So it was good.
I hope you get asked back.
Yeah, me too. And I just got to start saving money for that flight. It's expensive.
Yeah. A lot of great responses from our last episode. We kind of like we really shook them up last week, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think that was our best one yet, Mike. I don't know if it was just because we were like arguing or what, but I think that was probably the best episode that we've done.
People like it when the sparks fly.
Yeah, like a little controversy, like a little venom. Yeah, we got good reviews. The Roku Depot they do like a weekly podcast roundup, which is amazing, just because as far as I know, it's just one guy writing these reviews, and he writes about dozens of shows every week. So I don't know how he has the time to do all this, but you know, God bless him, because he's done 2 of our episodes so far. He did one on the Jason Fry young adult novel episode that we did a couple episodes back, and then he did one for It's Ray's Fault last week, and it was great. It's you know, it's cool to see people listening and you know, responding to the things that we said, whether it's in our favor or not.
Well, we'll see if he talks about our miscellaneous next time, now that he's a part of our miscellaneous.
Absolutely, yeah. How about that? If you're listening, thank you so much for the review, and for mentioning Mike's non-kidney stone issue. It's good that that's getting out there.
It's very important to me.
Yeah, otherwise, we had some really cool reviews. There's a new website up called chorus.fm. Anybody who's kind of hip to the alternative music scene would be aware of a website called absolutepunk.net, which has been around since 1996. I've been a member of that website since like 2008 or 2009. I've done some work with the guy who runs the website his name's Jason Tate. And actually, the website that I was running for a long period of time, Under the Gun Review, was owned by the same company that his website was owned by. We recently got Under the Gun out of that contract, and he recently got Absolute Punk out of that contract. But he was only able to pay for the trademark and the URL for Absolute Punk, not all of the data. And that's, you know, that's decades worth and millions of posts worth of data. So unfortunately, that is all gone. But what he's done is he's created this new forum called chorus.fm, which is a really great place to hang out and talk about music, but other things as well, including Star Wars. So my first act of charity for the year was to get a bunch of the the new Star Wars emojis that you see in like the app and on Twitter and get those sized properly and sent those over to him. So those are actually, you can actually use those when posting on chorus.fm now. So I've been using those a lot in the Star Wars threads, and it's been really cool to talk to some users over there, and some of them are Bantha Fodder listeners, so it's cool to talk about episodes like It's Ray's Fault with a bunch of people there that, you know what they're talking about and are passionate about it as well.
As opposed to us, who are non-passionate and don't know what we're talking about.
No. We know our stuff, and it's just cool to have more people reaching out and, you know, getting involved in the conversation, because as much as I like talking to you, Mike, I like talking to other people talking about what I talk about with you. Save me.
I got nothing. Help. You're on your own.
So included in some of these chorus responses that we got, you know, there are some people that, you know, agreed with what I had to say in that, you know, Rey had a pretty big role to play in Han's death and the events that took place after her interrogation with Kylo Ren. Some people, you know, they agreed and other people's did not. I'm not sure if some of these users actually listened to our show. I get a sneaking suspicion that they did not, but that's okay. Everybody's thoughts are okay, and I think they could probably get the gist of it based on our show description and what other people were talking about in the forum. But to those people, I kind of just still have to disagree. You know, a lot of people are saying that Kylo would have killed Han regardless, and that he was looking for this, you know, this big bad act to become, you know, perfectly evil and to become super powerful.
Familiar. That's like exactly my argument.
Exactly. Right. And that's why I'm saying they're wrong.
Oh my gosh.
To them, I just have to say that I have to disagree, because Kylo is blatantly conflicted. You know, he says his father means nothing to him when he's talking to Snoke, yet he feels a strong connection to him through the Force. So he immediately knows that he's on Starkiller Base as soon as he arrives, okay? And I haven't received my DVD yet, but I do know that there is a deleted scene, which I don't think has appeared online quite yet, wherein Kylo sits in his father's pilot chair inside the Millennium Falcon. Okay.
Yeah, I watched it, and he sits in the pilot chair, and he just says, "Oh man, I can't wait to kill Han Solo to prove how much of a badass I am." That's a direct line from the movie. That is a direct line.
Well, that'd be why it would be cut, right?
Well, maybe, you know, creative license. Yeah. You know.
Anywho, Mike hasn't seen it either. If Mike had seen the new Star Wars movie, I would have been the first to know. So there's a deleted scene where he sits in his father's chair in the Millennium Falcon. And if that's not a sign of conflicted nostalgia, honestly, I don't know what is. The fact that he didn't destroy the Millennium Falcon, which is his father's like only means of escape on Starkiller Base, and obviously the most important object in the galaxy to him, I think that says a lot.
That's why it's a deleted scene, because they said, this is probably not going to work with the rest of the movie, but we can definitely make a lot of money by putting it on the DVDs and getting people to buy it.
Fair enough. Let me continue. So, was Kylo killing Han the big thing he needed to impress Snoke and, you know, take the big leap into the dark side? Yes. Obviously it is. But Kylo is a three-dimensional character with emotions that match his motivations. You know, it seems pretty clear to me that from the beginning of the movie, he has his sights set on Luke's whereabouts, you know, not specifically finding him to kill him, but furthering himself down the path of the dark side under Snoke's guidance and finding Luke, okay? So from the interrogation on with Rey, his anger seems to be completely redirected towards her for, you know, her overpowering him and her Force Awakening, and for Han's compassion for her. And that makes him mad. And that's what we talked about last time. But that's where I stand. Rey's Force Awakening triggers a chain of events that meets the same end. Kylo doing something bad, like super bad, killing his dad. So, you know, whether or not you think Rey and her relationship with Han or her Force abilities were the reason or not, her appearance in Kylo's world at all does. You know, without Rey, BB-8 would have been handed over and Luke would have been found, like, right away. That wouldn't have been a very interesting movie. Without Rey,
without Poe Dameron, BB-8 would have been handed over to Rey. You know, like, it's like, you're talking chain of events here. This is, like, one thing leads to another.
Yeah, exactly. But but the fact is, Rey is there, you know? Like, that's the thing. So if you take out this one character, this happens. And if you take out another thing happens, sure. But we're talking about Rey. And the only reason we know Rey is in the story is because they put her in the movie. And if she wasn't in there, all these other things would have happened. So you have to consider all these what-ifs based on what's actually in the movie. And I think Rey is obviously the most important part of the film. And without Rey, Han and Chewie would probably still be out there searching for Atars, or they would have been killed by the Kanji Club or one of the other gangs that they owe a ton of money to. But Rey is the movie. She is the reason that all of these major plot points take place. So you have to consider her role in Han's death just as much as Snoke's. And that seems to be the biggest argument, is that it's Snoke's influence that pushed Kylo to kill Han and not Rey's. And that's where I have to disagree, because I think obviously he wants to impress Snoke, but he's also a child, and he's also highly motivated by anger. And what made him the most angry? Rey. Throughout this entire movie, he kept getting angry whenever this girl, who apparently has some sort of powers and evades his own forces, gets by, you know, whether it be escaping the first time, and that's when he started tearing up that room and force choking that poor dude that had delivered the news, or the interrogation, or any other moment when Rey succeeds, Kylo gets pissed. And that's what eventually led to the death of Han Solo. He was super mad at that moment, and all of that conflicted anger and the emotions that he had with Rey, after Rey walked in and he looked at her, that's when it happened. I'm not saying that, like, Rey made it happen of her own will, but I am saying that Rey is a huge factor in why Kylo Ren killed Han Solo.
I guess agree to disagree then, you know. Agree to disagree, buddy. That's you and me right now. We're at...
Fair enough. You know who does agree with you, or at least the way that I read his tweet? Pablo Hidalgo from Lucasfilm Story Group. Did you see that tweet? I think I sent that to you the other day.
You did. I read that, yeah.
Pablo Hidalgo tweeted the other day, "You know who's to blame for Kylo's actions? Kylo is. Just like Anakin's responsible for what he did." Totally true. It's Kylo at the end that pulled the trigger on his lightsaber and killed Papa Solo. But, you know, I that doesn't mean that there aren't things that motivated him to do those things. I mean, you can't say that in Anakin's case that Palpatine had nothing to do with it. He had everything to do with it. You know, Anakin's still responsible, but he was still motivated by a Sith Lord, you know?
Right.
I think it's the same situation.
Not the same.
Well, not the same, because Rey didn't want him to do that, but she was the motivating factor.
In your world, maybe. All right, we have a huge episode to get to. We have so much more get to. We can't be stuck in the past, Jacob. You just can't be stuck
there. Wait
a
minute, you can't say that when the next item in our notes was this amazingly nostalgic video.
Oh my god. I saw this, somebody tossed this around on Tumblr, and I sent it to you immediately because I just thought of how awesome and moved to tears you might be. Were you moved to tears by this?
I was at work and I was pretty tired. I wasn't moved to tears, but I did think it was excellently arranged.
Yeah, it was very good. It was very good. I feel like it's one of those things that's going to be... Oh, let's talk about what we're talking about. What are we?
Yeah, yeah. It's this video called Path of a Lightsaber by Christopher Sherwood. And it's really cool because it just kind of follows this lightsaber of Anakin Skywalker's as it, you know, moves through time and who finds it and the things that it sees and the things that it does. And it's just, it's a super cut of all these awesome scenes from Star Wars that are super emotional and definitely very moving.
You can tell we're definitely going to get some edits on this too, as more movies come out and as gaps are filled in with the anthology movies, if the gaps are filled in, I should say. But I just think it's a cool concept, you know, like, there's more to this story, you know, especially with the part where, you know, in this video where it brings in Maz Kanata's line about, like, that's a story for a different time or something like that.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
We're going to get another recut of this short film, 2 minutes. It's like 2.5 minutes or something like that. Definitely worth a watch in my book.
Yeah, I think it's definitely pretty cool. So we'll have a link to that in the show notes, and you guys can check that out and take a watch and maybe shed some tears.
Just like I did.
Yeah. All right, Mike, main topic time. You want to introduce it?
Oh my god, I just can't wait to rain down all the nerds tonight. Ugh. Basically, what we're going through tonight is who Rey is not, because we have so many theories out there about who Rey is, and everybody, including the Huffington Post, has a very strong opinion on and believes they have the facts to back it up on who Rey is. But no, you're wrong. They're just
exactly
all wrong. Everyone's wrong.
You're all wrong. Nobody has it right,
except for us.
I'm not going to say that. I don't think we have the answers either. I just really want to talk about why everybody is wrong, because obviously nobody's going to know the answer until the next movie comes out. We can theorize all we want, and that's awesome. It's fun, and that's what makes Star Wars so cool. But at the end of the day, we have no idea. But I can tell you why certain things wouldn't work out. And I think you have some great ideas here, too. We have a huge list of these ridiculous fan theories, and I think this is going to be a good one, just to run through all these and knock them down.
All right, first up, the one that everyone is very into is just that Rey being a Skywalker, specifically Luke's daughter.
No! Yeah, and that's where this Huffington Post article comes in. This Huffington Post article just came up sometime this week, I think today, actually. It was published on the 1st of February. So I don't know if he was trolling because of April Fool's, but this guy got a copy of the Blu-ray, and he's watching through these extra features, and he found this quote from concept artist Doug Chang about his thoughts on Rey's outfit looking like the Jedi outfits in the prequels. And he's getting this quote from a guy who did concept art, okay? He was not in charge of the costume. He didn't have any role in the story development. I don't think he even had a full copy of the script. I don't even think there was a script at this point.
It's proof.
So when this,
it's proof.
But that's the thing. That's what this guy is saying. He's saying that he has, like, indisputable proof that Rey is Luke's daughter because of this quote. Early on, when we were designing Rey, before the costume team came aboard, we were trying to figure out, okay, well, how can we tie in the design history of that, and how can we bring a little bit of Luke, perhaps, in there? That's it.
Oh, God.
That's what he's saying is proof.
How can we take one character that's stuck on a desert planet and make them resemble another character that was stuck on a desert planet? Huh. Yeah, that makes sense. It must be Luke's daughter.
That's the thing. Why does it have to be anything about her relation? That doesn't make any damn sense. I mean, by that logic, like, looking at Poe Dameron, okay? Obviously, Poe Dameron drew a ton of influence from another cocky pilot from the Star Wars movies, right?
They're brothers. Gotta be brothers. Gotta be brothers.
Obviously, because he has a leather jacket and a smirk on his face, he has to be related to Han Solo somehow. Except he's not. We know he's not, because there's actual canon explanations for his background. It's ridiculous to me that this dude would make this article, and I'm sure it's just for April Fool's, and it was just to troll all the people like us who would bite on and make a thing of it, but I just thought to bring it up, because honestly, like, come on, man, that's ridiculous.
It's not even the most ridiculous, though. I mean, it just gets so much worse.
That's true. But as far as, like, for the like, arguing that Luke is her father, I'd say that this is maybe the more ridiculous claim. Like, this is a stretch. This is probably more than a stretch.
Yeah, I mean, Luke would have had to break his celibacy vows, which is not unheard of, as we have learned from the prequels.
True. And to be fair, Luke didn't take any celibacy vows because he wasn't ever legitimately a member of the Jedi Order.
Right.
Because, I mean, he's the last of the Jedi at that point, so I don't know. The big thing that everybody's looking at is, you know, the look that he gives her at the end of the movie.
Well, you love interpreting looks and reading into characters' minds and thinking that they know the lore. So let's hear what do you think about Luke's
look? We already talked about this. We did this a couple weeks ago, and I'll put a link to the thing that I wrote about it. But I don't think there's a whole lot to that look. I know Mark Hamill did say some things about that recently, and, you know, that Luke as a character is very conflicted. But I honestly don't think that there is anything more to that look than you know, I mean, we don't know. You know, it's all speculation. We don't know. Maybe he does know who she is, but honestly, I don't think that the look is enough to judge whether or not they're related. You know, maybe he is aware of who she is because he's a super powerful Jedi, but I don't know if that means that he's her dad.
I look that way at my roommate when he comes home from work after me. You know, like, he walks in the door, I stand in the kitchen, and I stare at him like that, and he stares at me. And then
you stare at him, yeah, and then he stares at me, you.
And a drone flies around us. and then the credits roll, and that's the end of our relationship.
That's great.
It's a good roommate dynamic to have.
Right. Well, all right. I have two main thoughts on this, and we'll see if you have anything to add to this. I don't think that Rey could be Luke's daughter for the simple fact that he'd be the shittiest dad ever to drop her off on a desert planet just like Obi-Wan did to him after his mom died. Right? Like, come on. Obviously, that doesn't work out very well for most people. It didn't work out for Anakin. Luke knows that. Luke didn't like it. So why the hell would he just drop his daughter off on some planet and then go hide somewhere else himself? Why wouldn't he, the most powerful Jedi in the universe, take his daughter somewhere and hide with her if he was worried that she needed protection?
I mean, as far as shitty dads go, I feel like, you know, it's not that weird, though. You know, I mean, Luke's dad killed his mother and, you know, became the Galactic Empire's enforcer, basically. So, I mean, as far as assholes go.
But Luke isn't the kind of guy that wants to be like daddy.
Well, I mean, he was. This is a whole block of the story we're missing here, you know, between Jedi and Force Awakens. So who knows? Who knows?
I guess so. But that's where my second point comes in.
Okay.
Do we really think that Luke had the time or energy to dedicate to reproduction when the fate of the Jedi Order was in his hands? Like, obviously, if after Return of the Jedi, he was focused on finding a bunch of Force-sensitive kids and bringing them to some planet to create a Jedi Academy to teach them how to use the Force, like, do you think he had a whole lot of time to find himself a canon Mara Jade and, you know, make kids?
I don't know how that happens. How do kids get made?
That's a different podcast.
Okay. I'll listen to that.
I don't know, man. I don't buy it. And personally, I really wish that they wouldn't go down that route because I think it's easy. I think it's a cop out and I think it's just, you know, repeating what's already been done. So I don't know.
It's too easy.
If that's what everybody expects, then that shouldn't be the direction that they go. Because if they want to keep Star Wars exciting, they need to do something different.
Well, finding out like that, I mean, I didn't read too much up on the movie beforehand, but finding out that Kylo Ren was Ben Solo, you know, I thought that was unpredictable for me. I didn't think the movie's villain would be related to Han Solo. People thought it was Luke or something like that. That was a theory that was floating around. But
well, that's the thing. Everybody wants to relate them to Luke because before Luke, you know, everybody's been related to each other so far. You know, they're Skywalkers.
It's too predictable.
It's way too predictable. I agree. And I think that is all that needs to be said on that particular theory, don't you think?
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Bullshit theory number two. Han and Leia's daughter is Rey. No. Mm. No.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. You know, I just like with Luke, I think they'd be pretty shitty parents to leave her on a desert planet with a bunch of sketchy people and no steady food supply. You know? I mean, that'd be one way to give her, you know, a great work ethic, but I think that's pretty harsh for that sort of lesson. So I'm not buying it.
Like, I mean, you'd have to stretch some pretty crazy, like, Jedi mind wipe stuff going on, which I do think it plays into the truth of Rey, is mind wipes and things like that. But when it comes to Han and Leia, like, they're just not recognizing their daughter, you know, that's just too many, like, plot holes just filled in with Jedi mind wipes. And to have, like, they hug, they embrace, they talk to each other, you know, as if they've never met each other before. You know, they're either doing a hell of a job pretending, you know, for her own good or whatever, you know, but it's dumb. It's dumb. It's bad.
Yeah. I don't get the vibe that they like knew who she was, you know, either Han or Leia for that matter. You know, or that she was lost. Like, obviously if it's Han and Leia's daughter, they either did a shitty thing and left her defend for herself as a child in the hands of this big fat gelatinous dude is going to give her, like, I don't know, fruity snacks for every single meal. But if she were lost, like, don't you think they'd be looking for her? Don't you think that Han would be out there searching for her instead of the Millennium Falcon, which happened to be parked right next door? I don't think so, you know? I just don't buy it. And for those that really have been pushing, you know, I think some of this has waned a little bit, but some of the theories out there have really been pushing for her being Ben Solo's twin. You know, this is sort of an extension of the Han Leia's daughter theory, obviously, but people are saying that, oh, well, Rey and Ben must be brother and sister, and they're probably twins. I don't think so. According to Lucasfilm, there's a 10-year age gap between the two. Rey has been verified as 19 years old, according to the Force Awakens Visual Dictionary, and Pablo Hidalgo said on Twitter that he places Kylo somewhere around 29 to 30, which means that he would have been born about a year or two after the events of the Battle of Yavin. So, not buying that one either.
It is, yeah, I mean, that goes right there. Siblings would be plausible if they were the children of Han and Leia, but no, we've already established that she can't be the child of Han and Leia, so therefore mm-hmm. not Ben Solo's twin.
Right.
But what was this other one you were talking about, Leia's daughter, like being not Han's daughter?
What?
Yeah, this is where it starts to get kind of weird, okay? Those two theories, you know, being Luke's daughter or being Han and Leia's daughter, those are kind of like the easy ones. Like, those are the ones that you might kind of expect if things kept going according to the way that the movies have gone in the past. Those are the easy answers. But there's some out there ones. This one being that she is Leia's daughter. All right. Han didn't seem to know her from anywhere when they met, but when Han died and they eventually got back from Starkiller Base and landed at the Resistance Base, Leia went straight to her instead of her longtime friend Chewbacca and gave her a hug. You know, I think that's a weird scene. You know, don't you think that when your husband dies, you would go immediately to the guy, like, to the Wookiee that's been his best friend forever and kind of console him a little bit, not the girl that, like, met him like a day or two before?
I've heard this. Okay, so one of my new favorite podcasts is We Hate Movies. I definitely recommend mm-hmm. checking it out for anybody who likes just hating on movies. And they don't actually hate on Force Awakens. They actually hate on this theory, too. They mentioned this, like Chewbacca leaving the Falcon and like brushing past everyone because his best friend just died. His life debt that he owed Han Solo, he failed, you know? And like he doesn't want to talk to anybody. I don't know. I feel like I think their idea on that holds water too.
I could see that, but I mean, from Chewie's perspective, like obviously he knew how much Han cared about Leia. And if it were me and my best friend died and he had a wife at home, I would, my first action would be to try to get to her and like, you know, just show her my support.
They already fell out, you know? We don't know what happened, like how bad it was between Leia and Han that made them split up and go their separate ways. Maybe Chewbacca just like bro coding it, you know?
I don't think so, because when Leia first landed at Maz's castle after it fell and like the First Order pulled out, she came out and her and Han kind of like stared at each other and said a couple of awkward things, but Chewbacca was the first one to immediately just like run up and give her a hug.
Oh, I guess, yeah.
So, really, I don't know. I thought that scene was weird, and that one does kind of give this weird theory that Leia, you know, took another lover after Han left. It kind of gives it a little credence, but at the same time, I don't know. It'd be an interesting love triangle, but at the same time...
Also, she just doesn't recognize Rey.
Yeah.
Rey would have had to pass through her reproductive system... And now she has to just pretend that it's not that. No, stop.
I don't know.
Rey didn't come out of Leia. I don't care. She didn't come out.
Yeah,
Leia.
I'm not buying it. I do think that after, you know, thinking about that theory and then thinking about that scene at the end, it almost made sense to me for a second. But realistically, I just don't see it. I just don't think that Rey is related to any of the original three main characters.
Oh God, I hope not.
Or at least. At least not in a typical sense, but we'll get back to that. Let's move on.
What is this, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, this one's funny because after the movie had come out, and I'd seen it once or twice, my girlfriend and I were taking a walk through a park, and I think she kind of wanted to impress me a little bit based on some things that she had been talking about with her friend. And her friend had this theory that Rey was Obi-Wan Kenobi's daughter. And so I indulged her a little bit. I let her state her case, like a good boyfriend should. Always listen, guys. But then I immediately had to shut it down because the timeline doesn't make sense at all. I mean, consider that Obi-Wan Kenobi was about 57 years old during A New Hope. And The Force Awakens takes place 34 years after the events of A New Hope, okay? So if Obi-Wan Kenobi was 57 at that point, it would be pretty impressive for him to father a child to begin with. I mean, it could happen.
Hey, I know.
I don't think so.
I know some dudes that have done it.
Yeah, I know some old dads too, but I think that would be pretty hard for him to do as a hermit out in the middle of the desert, staying away from everybody that he runs across. So I think that would be impressive in itself, but it would also be impressive for that woman to hold on to that baby for almost 20 years. Because if Rey is 19 years old, that would have put her birth somewhere between the events of Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. And that just doesn't fit. So, sorry, as cool as that would be, as awesome as it would be to see like a Kenobi bloodline out there, Rey does not fit into that bloodline.
No.
Unless, and I'm just thinking of this now, there have been talks about Obi-Wan Kenobi taking a partner
in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, Satine, which would be really cool. I think that would be neat. I like the idea of sort of Obi-Wan was sort of the righteous Jedi, and he always kind of provided a bit of a contrast to Anakin, who obviously took a secret wife. I think it would be an interesting sort of twist to see that Obi-Wan had done the same thing even more secretly than Anakin did, at least to our scope within the universe. So that would have been cool. There's a lot of fan fiction out there where Obi-Wan and Asajj Ventress get together. So that's something.
I think that would be some slash fiction. Yeah. less fan, more slash.
Yeah, that's some of it. I'm sure is pretty risque. I saw some pretty standard ones on Tumblr when looking through a Star Wars tag one time, but
just casually perusing some
I used to be on Tumblr, Mike.
Fiction. Okay, yeah,
I was just like looking through Star Wars tags.
Oh, sure,
yeah, that happened to come up. Okay, moving on. So maybe a Kenobi would be cool, would explain the accent, but I don't think there's any possible way that she is a direct line of Obi-Wan Kenobi, at least not his daughter.
So we've eliminated the original cast members, the three original cast members, and then also the extended cast members. Like we're branching almost out now. We're moving.
Almost. I've got a couple more down here. Let's keep going.
Okay.
All right. So virgin birth.
No.
This one. This one gives me a headache because I still don't agree with the original virgin birth in the Star Wars universe, and I refuse to buy into it because this is just one of those bits of prequel that I don't think needs to be a part of the story, and I think can be easily explained out. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. So the virgin birth theory goes back to Shmi Skywalker saying to Qui-Gon Jinn when he asked her about Anakin's lineage that he has no father. So as far as the story is concerned, and most people take it this way, they say that Anakin was actually born of a virgin birth and had actually, like, physically had no father. He was born of the Force. It was an immaculate conception within Shmi Skywalker by the Force itself, which I don't love. I think it's a little derivative of a very popular story in a very popular book.
The novelization of The Matrix?
I was going to go with the Bible.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't buy it. When I watched that movie, I didn't even think about that. I was raised in a Christian household, but I always thought that Shmi was just like a super proud single mom. You know, a mom that never had a dad around to help her with anything. So, you know, it's totally within her right to take all credit for raising her son. Like, obviously, Anakin's an impressive kid. And if I were a single parent, I would want to take every bit of credit that I could get for raising that boy. And that's what I thought she was doing.
So she, when she says he has no father, she's being like, no, no dude had a hand in this. And Qui-Gon,
exactly.
He's like, oh, then it clearly it must have been the midichlorians.
Right. Either he was thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to touch this. Like, this seems to be a sensitive topic. But then he goes on and he confesses that theory to Obi-Wan back at the ship. And he's saying that, you know, he's born of the midichlorians. He's the highest midichlorian count I've ever seen. And I don't know. I just don't buy it. And I wouldn't buy it with Rey either. So I don't know who they say Rey is supposed to be born by. Because, you know, obviously she still has to have a mother somewhere unless she just, you know, poof, apparate into existence by the Force.
Oh my god.
So, ugh. I don't know. I'm not buying it.
I mean, there are Force ghosts, but they don't materialize into, like, matter. They're just fucking Force.
Right. I mean, those Force ghosts existed as people, and they once they became one with the Force, since they were strong in the Force as Jedi, like, you know, they found a way, thanks to Yoda and what do they call those characters at the end of the Clone Wars. I don't know if you got that to that, but there's an arc at the very end with Yoda where he communes with these, like, strong entities within the Force that teach him how to become a Force ghost, and that's how, like, he and Qui-Gon
alert,
and
I'm on season 3.
Sorry, man. Well, you'll get there. Anyway, yeah, I agree. It's possible to become one with the Force, but I don't think that the Force is actually creating anybody. If anybody has any arguments to that, I would love to hear it, because this is a topic that I've admittedly talked about very little, so I'd love to hear other ideas about it. But as far as theory for Rey's existence, not buying it.
And on the subject of Qui-Gon, you said you like this one? You like this idea of Qui-Gon being involved?
I haven't read this in a whole lot of places, but I like the idea. I liked Qui-Gon Jinn as a character, even though he had that dumb theory about the about Shmi and Anakin's virgin birth. I kind of liked the idea because he was a cool Jedi. You know, he taught his pupils to avoid attachments, but he did kind of skirt in the fringes of the Order's code of conduct.
He's the sole reason that Darth Vader was put into motion. You know, like,
well, that's true, and I think that makes him an important character. But he was also, you know, he, more than any other Jedi, saw the flaws in the Jedi way. And, you know, it wasn't enough for him to completely abandon his beliefs, but I think he saw that where the Jedi were headed were not necessarily, they weren't going to a good place. So I think he, more than anybody, had more foresight into what could be coming. And I think he honestly believed that Anakin was the chosen one and would bring balance to the Force. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation about exactly what that means to bring balance to the Force. But I think Qui-Gon had good intentions. And I think, you know, since he was sort of on the outside of the Order in a way that a lot of the other Jedi weren't, I could see him taking a wife. I could see that happening. I could see a secret Jinn family somewhere out in the universe. And I think that'd be a cool twist to the story.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be mad if that one happened. I'll put it that way. You know, like, I still think it's stupid, but I wouldn't be mad if that showed up. I would definitely be mad if anything else we've talked about comes into this movie.
Yeah, anything so far has been sort of like, I really hope that doesn't happen. But Qui-Gon, you know what? Like, he didn't have that much screen time, and I thought he was a cool character. Definitely one of the more interesting prequel characters, in my opinion. And if they added a little more to his story, I think that would be cool.
Yeah. And then Kanan Jarrus or Ezra Bridger. What are those people?
These are the two main characters from the new Disney XD series Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, cool.
I know you haven't caught up to that yet, but
no.
These are the two main characters. Kanan is technically the last Jedi. There was a comic series out about him that was really good. He escaped from Order 66 and kind of went on the lam. So, you know, at least up to shortly before the events of A New Hope, there was Obi-Wan, and there was Yoda, and there was Kanan Jarrus. And Kanan was sort of on the run, and he even trained a young boy named Ezra Bridger. So anybody who's a fan of the Rebels series will know plenty about them, and I know you'll get to that eventually because you're going through your Clone Wars watch. I'm not completely caught up with the Rebels series yet either, but it's a good show.
I think it's important to realize that it's not true, though.
No deal!
That's, you know, just the point of this episode is to say, no, it's not going to happen. But at the same time, I would love to see some legitimacy or, some props thrown back to the animated series. I would like to see those become more involved in the true canon. You know?
Yeah, those tie-ins are always my favorite.
Yeah, it's nice.
Definitely. Especially with the Clone Wars. That series is so important to me. That's such a good show. You know, there are so many, great, well-written episodes there that I love it anytime they toss something into the story that kind of harkens back to that show and the stuff that they added to the story that way.
Oh my God. Ed, this is literally my least favorite one that I've read anywhere or heard of is the Anakin Reborn theory.
No. It's not true. That's impossible.
Yes, Anakin reincarnated. This is underneath a category in the show notes that I've labeled silly ones. The next few are sort of out there, you know, even more so than the ones that we've talked about before. And this one might be the most, I guess it's not even the most ridiculous, but it's just like, come on, you know, Anakin turned back to the light side at the end of the Return of the Jedi. That we know. And that's the entire point of the ending of that arc. You know, the fact that this bad guy, the bad guy, became good again at the last minute. There was a redemption. And it even shows at the end of that movie, in whatever version you want to watch it in, with whatever actor you want as the Force Ghost, that Anakin, in fact, comes back as a Force Ghost to, you know, hang out with Yoda and with Obi-Wan and to at least, you know, give nods of approval to Luke as he parties with his friends. So... he seems to be good there, and it would be difficult for me to believe that Anakin would turn back to the dark side after becoming one with the Force. Am I alone in thinking that?
Kylo Ren doesn't seem to care.
Right. Well, I don't think Kylo really knows what's going on.
Kylo Ren is reading a very odd version of the history books. He's reading a very skewed perspective.
Right. Obviously, Snoke is, you know, twisting his mind and telling him that... Anakin, in fact, did not turn back to the light side at the end, and that's just basically propaganda used by his parents and his uncle. But wouldn't it have been easy enough for Luke just to say, hey, Dad, can you come over here and sit down with Kylo for a second to explain what's going on? I think if Kylo knew that he had a translucent grandpa hanging around, he probably wouldn't be putting on the mask.
Yeah, where was Anakin? Oh, man, we're getting off topic, but where were the Force Ghosts when Kylo Ren was turning to the dark side? Honestly.
They're all hanging out on that island with Luke.
Hey, man, it's me, your grandfather. Totally not what I was going for. You're not.
Don't do it, man. It's not worth it. You're going to get burnt to a crisp. Your wife's going to die. It's not going to be a good time.
It's literally me. It's literally me.
You're looking at me.
Me telling you. That's my helmet there. Don't talk to it. Talk to me, the Force Ghost that is... Oh, God.
Where'd you even find that helmet? You know, yeah, I think that's a pretty, pretty silly theory. But it gets weirder.
It gets weirder than that?
Yeah, it gets weirder than that. Consider this theory. Rey is not the daughter, but a clone of the Emperor.
No!
Oh, I'm done. I'm done.
Doesn't make any damn sense. I don't know where these people are coming up with stuff. Honestly, I think maybe... maybe people are just throwing out anything to see what sticks, or they're just, you know, maybe they're trolling. I don't know. But this is one that I read, was that Rey is made up of DNA that was collected from the Emperor as a contingency for, you know, his demise. So,
she does have those Palpatine eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And that smile.
Yep, those teeth. When I think of Daisy Ridley, I just think of
All right, I got one more weird one, and this one's just seriously messed up. I'm just putting this one out there in the slim chance that whoever came up with this theory is listening, because I want them to feel ashamed for this, okay? There's a theory floating around that Rey is the daughter of Kylo Ren.
No! Which
would make him 11 at the age of conception. And that's just wrong.
Okay.
That's all I have to say. I just want you to feel so bad if that was your idea. Don't put stupid stuff like that on the internet. Come on. I mean, you're better than that.
It's the internet. The internet is not better than that, number one. Number two, I mean, you know, he could have been knocking boots like Anakin was with a girl older than him. You know, it's always possible. Weirder things have happened on the news.
Yeah, but Anakin was older than 11 years old. Anakin was 11 when they found him.
Right.
So I don't know.
But, you know, him and Padme, that scene cuts away, you know, after he talks about her being the...
Stop it. Stop it.
Okay, fine. Fine.
You're as bad as the weirdo that made up the theory.
It was me. It was me that put that theory on the internet.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
I confess. I've been watching you the whole time stress over
this. You're a freak, Mike. All right. Well, those are the main theories that are out there.
If there are more, let us know, please. Like, I would love, just tweet at us and let us know which theories we missed, or like, I don't know, think of something more ridiculous than that list there,
or prove us wrong, or at least prove the theory right, because all we're talking about is here is how these theories couldn't possibly be true. But who knows, maybe there's some good arguments out there that we haven't thought of. So if you have those,
maybe
you can share that with us as well.
I mean, do you want to just riff on, like, who she could be for, like, 2 seconds, even though we know it's all a pointless thing? I mean, I have my ideas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, hit me. I want to hear yours.
I just think she's no one. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, she's obviously someone because she's important to the movie, but mm-hmm. I think that she's just a student of Luke's who was very gifted, and when whatever happened, you know, at the Jedi, to the Jedi, you know, when the Knights of Ren presumably slaughtered a lot of them, Luke had to go into hiding, and maybe mm-hmm. he rescued Rey, one of his very gifted Padawans, or someone who was progressing very well, and he fled with her, and he took her to a planet like he grew up on, where he knew she'd be safe and hidden and have a, you know, somewhat of a rough life, but, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, build character. Deserts build character. And, you know, and, you know, that's where maybe the one mind wipe I'd be okay with happening. I'd be fine with a mind wipe because, I mean, she's clearly not able to remember something. She's having flashbacks of a ship flying away from her, crying as a girl. We don't see what kind of ship, really. We still don't see who leaves her there.
Right.
But, you know, like, I just think that that's what it is. I think that there's nothing sensational to it. I think she's a very gifted Force user, and that's what I think on that.
That's interesting, and I think if any Luke theories that are out there, that's probably the most plausible. I think that's sort of interesting because Luke would then have to, like, choose, you know, who he was going to save. You know, if his academy was under attack by Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren, who may have been other students of Luke's that had joined forces with Ren in sort of a secret coup, you know, obviously a lot of people would have died. And if he would have saved Rey, like, that's a pretty heavy choice to make. And, like, obviously that would mean that she's pretty special, but that would kind of, you know what, if anything were to, you know, give me a sort of idea of what the look at the end of the movie meant, that would be it. You know, turning around and seeing the girl that is going to bring back all these memories of this terrible, terrible night where he had to, you know, flee from this thing that he had created with all these, you know, slaughtered children just to save this one girl who's now showing up with his lightsaber on his little island. That would be, that'd be heavy.
Ooh, I got another one. I got another one.
Hit me.
What if...
Go.
Again, she's still a nobody. She's still, like, so she's the same character, born of the same parents that we don't know or whatever. What if Kylo Ren actually saved her? So what, and that is the one glimmer of light that is still in Kylo Ren, you know? So, like, Luke can see... So what if Kylo Ren, you know, slaughters a bunch of Jedi, but he just can't bring himself to slaughter Rey? And that's why he wants to train her. And he brings her, he takes her to Jakku and drops her there and mind wipes her because that's some dark side stuff right there. And that's why he's trying to get her to train her at the end of Force Awakens. And when Luke sees her again, he's like, oh my God, I thought he killed you. How about that? I like that idea.
I like your first one better.
Okay. I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, how doesn't it make sense?
Because... obviously, like, they meet up in this movie, and he wouldn't, like, go interrogating this girl if he knew that she was, like, possibly super powerful. He wouldn't want, if he thought that she was a threat, even if he wanted her to stay alive, like, he wouldn't have captured her, brought her back to the most dangerous place she could possibly be, and then force his way into her mind, which would, you know, most definitely unlock her Force abilities if she had any.
Well, she doesn't have to necessarily be super powerful right now.
Well, then why would he save her?
Because she's soft spot. I don't know. Develop a friendship. You know, maybe he develops an attachment to her. Maybe he's falling in love with her as a child. You know, like having a schoolboy crush on her. And that's, you know, I mean, he's already fallible. You know,
I mean, Rey would have been like, how old do you think Rey looked in that flashback where she was dropped off at Jakku?
Okay, you're right. It's weird. It'd be weird for any romantic connection between the two at a young age. I could see it, her being like a kid sister, but not in a like a genetic way, you know, just being like, oh, looking out for this girl at this Jedi camp. Oh, time to kill all the Jedi. Oh, I cannot bring myself to kill this youngling like Anakin Skywalker did, you know. I don't know. That I kind of like that Kylo Ren idea personally more than the Luke one. But you know, if you like my other idea too, I'll take that. I'll take that, Jake. You know,
I'll give you that first one. I think that was a good idea. I think that was a good theory. Actually, I like that one a lot.
All right. Well. I guess we'll find out in a year from now or whatever.
Yeah, I've got some ideas too. I think you know, I really hope she's not related to anybody we know. I hope that she's someone new. You know, it could be that she's related to a Jedi we don't know or that we haven't met yet. But at the same time, like you don't have to be the son or daughter of a Jedi to be a Jedi. You know, kids are born with Force abilities all the time, and I don't think we need, you know, another "I'm your father" moment. You know, you don't need that for every single Force wielding character in the movies. You can be a badass of your own accord, and I think Rey is. Like, she's easily one of the most interesting characters that we've ever had in the saga. So let her just be cool. You know, she could. Obviously, she has to be from somewhere, and I get that, and we'll find out what it is at some point, but I don't think it has to be from a point earlier in the films. I don't think it has to be something from the books. I don't think it has to be something from the movies. I don't think that it has to be this huge tie-in to make it impressive, because she's impressive on her own. You know, she's interesting, and she's cool, so I'd be totally fine if they just explained her away with, you know, something that maybe was tied into the movies in the future, but maybe not in something that already exists. And while thinking about this episode, I kind of came up with another theory that I thought would be maybe not quite as heavy as your theory. That one really took me by surprise. But what if Rey, as a small child, accidentally used her Force abilities to a terrible effect, you know, possibly even killing someone, to save her, or maybe even to make some money by, you know, selling a Force wielding girl? Her parents dropped her off in Jakku in the hands of Vonkar Plett.
Kind of like a mutant or something like that.
Like a mutant or Harry Potter or, you know, like, I think that's always been a really interesting timeline to me, being abandoned as a kid because of, you know, something that's out of your control. You know, usually like you're a freak or because of really sad circumstances, like your parents are so poor and like, they can't even feed themselves. They can't feed you. So to give you a better life and to give themselves a better life, they make like a devastating compromise to literally sell you to get some money to feed themselves and to hopefully give you a life somewhere where it may be hard, but at least you'll be fed and you won't die in the streets, you know?
Yeah.
I love those kind of stories. It's very like Oliver Twist or something.
For sure. And still, no matter what, like, the most interesting theories are the theories where Rey is just not related to anybody that we know already. You know, she just, she has, her story is unique. Her story is what makes her cool, not the fact that she's related to somebody who used to be really powerful. And I think that's what's going to make Rey an awesome character for the next, you know, three movies or however long this character goes on for.
Hopefully. So, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? Maybe they'll explain her background really early in the first act. Like, we have no idea what's going to happen in episode 8.
Yeah. The movie could open and, like, it just, Luke and Rey are just training on whatever island they're on, and she's like, hey, daughter, I love hanging out with you. This is
hey,
awesome.
Dad,
and it's like,
this
oh,
is great.
First line of the movie. Hey, Dad. Oh, man. I love it when you piggyback on me and make me jump through things.
Oh, all right, that's weird.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I was thinking a Yoda way.
I know.
This episode's going all sorts of wrong directions. I mean, the biggest thing I could think of is that there's a lot of people that you know, write movies that are on the internet and that do movies and are writers in general. But a lot of people that are posing these theories are not creative people in the sense that they are writing films and coming up with interesting plots and unique characters. Mm-hmm. And the best part about these movies is that they're not predictable, you know? like, I don't know, like the best gift to us would not, like the best gift to audiences in Empire Strikes Back was finding out that Luke Skywalker, his dad is Darth Vader. Mm-hmm. And if we're all going into another movie thinking that, thinking like, oh man, like who's she going to be? Like that wouldn't be a good thing to do to an audience, to have like walking into The Force Awakens in theaters and believing that Finn was going to be the Force sensitive, that Finn was going to be the Jedi, you know, that was a great move on their part.
It was like a misdirect.
Yeah, it was totally great. And
it plays on your expectations, you know, right. That's what makes it so much fun when you're wrong in the movie theater. Like, and that's what you're like, yes, yes.
That's what screenwriters are paid to do at the level of Disney and Lucasfilm and Star Wars, you know, like screenwriters at a movie that's going to be that big are paid to come up with something that's going to wow the audience and not something that's going to be like a snooze fest. There are big action blockbusters. I'm mostly thinking of Jurassic Park or something that's just, you know, not that interesting. Jurassic World, excuse me. Oh man, I'd take a lot of flack if I said Jurassic Park wasn't interesting. But like, you know, just things that are just written to like get people in the theaters, you know, Star Wars is definitely made to get people in the theaters, but it's, there's some integrity behind that writing, you know, whether or not you think it's a rehash of something else, you know, I think there's thought that goes into it and there wouldn't be a lot of thought going into just being like, well, what can we reveal here? You know, who can we tie her to?
I agree. I think we're all in for a good surprise in episode 8. I mean, at least that's my hope. I think it would be weird for them to, you know, come off this like super successful relaunch of the Star Wars franchise and then, you know, just kind of drag it through the Star Wars rigmarole in episode 8 with the, you know, recycled storylines I think we all want something new, and I'd be really surprised if you know, the team in episode 8, Rian Johnson, even J.J. Abrams, who's sticking around for consulting, and all of the writers, like, if they didn't take the time to figure out something neat. I think there have been plans for Rey's lineage for quite some time. I think J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan probably had some of that planned out to a certain degree. I don't think they would just drop that on Rian Johnson and say, figure it out. I think that'd be sort of cruel. But, you know, we'll see what happens. In the meantime, we'll just keep poking holes in all these crazy fan theories that pop up on YouTube and Reddit. And that's what makes Star Wars so much fun to talk about. That's why podcasts like this can exist. Because otherwise, like, you know, there's, with most movie franchises, there's nothing to talk about in between. Like, nobody, no fanship theorizes about their franchise as much as Star Wars, and it's because there are so many holes and there's so much time in between the movies that like there's nothing else to do, and we want to stay involved and we want to be in that universe. So I won't knock anybody.
Yeah, by all means keep them coming, you know. I love it, you know, like
give us something to talk about.
I hate everything you're saying, but I just love it, you know. I love just knowing how insane you are, people, when you come up with these theories.
Yeah, and that's great.
Entertaining the thought of what's not going to happen in the next movie is awesome too.
Absolutely. All right, well, I think that about wraps it up for this one. We've been talking for quite a while, so thanks for listening to episode 7 of Bantha Fodder. If you want to discuss this episode with us, you can shoot us an email at banthafodderfm@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We're at Bantha Fodder FM on all those platforms. Individually, we're at Mike Comite and at Curbside Audio on Twitter. And you can find the show notes with links to all that and all the other stuff that we've been talking about at banthafodder.fm/episodes/7. So thanks again for listening. And until next time, see you later, Mike.
You blowing your nose?
Sure am. Gotta get it all out there before we start. I don't want to be sniffing the whole time. That's a lot of edits.